I take the Air North bullet flight to Caribou, one of the most beautiful port cities of the Northwest Passage. I wait for the ferry under the Bauberger sculpture titled Green Rush, a 20-foot-high forest of steel arms, all green, with small hands on the ends of them stretching out towards the water, grabbing, yearning. It symbolizes everything about the early days of the passage. Lots of grabbing, reaching, everyone coming out to the edge to get a piece. Gulls circle the walkway. Cruise ships unload passengers. A Chinese oil tanker comes into the delta from the west, slowly inching along. The Northern Lights ferry travels back and forth along the passage, conducting echo tours, wildlife tours, and lighthouse tours. There are 39 lighthouses from here to Cape Chidley. My dad's lighthouse, the Jenica, is number 16. Designed by Canadian artists, all 39 lighthouses are listed as one of the seven wonders of the shared world. I'm proud I grew up in the Jenica. It's my favorite, though I'm sure I'm biased. It's sunflower yellow with a blue strip of aluminum coiled loosely around it, culminating in an aluminum sun that spreads out from the top of the lighthouse. For 18 years, I lived in art. My dad meets the ferry when we get past Kugluktuk. He's half Iranian, half Czech, with a heavy black beard that covers everything from his nose down, but all that opens in a white smile when I get on the boat. He waves to the captain of the ferry and we head off towards Dee Strait. My dad's wearing this old Russian captain's hat and his black woolen long coat, and they make him look heavy on the boat. Jenica stands at the mouth of what leads to Bathurst Inlet. At night, when we're lit, the light will dance across the aluminum and far out into the bay around us. Over Chile, my dad asks about my life. I see him every 3 or 4 months, and we talk, but he still wants the first-hand reports as if I were still slipstreaming back and forth to school in a Kuluktutiak. He heard the mammoth story, liked it, wants to know about my current girlfriend, Maddie, broke up, heard that the Yukon was seceding, but then there was that news conference where they said they weren't. So I told him my version of the story. He was some pissed. He wants me to do well. He doesn't care where I live, travels so fast and inexpensive these days, and well, we were all getting closer together anyway, what with the coastline shrinking. So my dad is being extra special caring with me. Makes me grilled cheese and tomato soup, chicken a la king. We eat ice cream and take hot chocolate with Bailey's out onto the deck that overlooks the passage. He pipes out some guitar music. I feel loved. It looks like he's cleaned the place spotless for Russell. They met online. Russell is half Samoan, half Irish, grew up on American Samoa. But with volcanoes and rising seas, Samoa disappeared. A lot of islands have. In fact, Iceland, Greenland, they got a lot of the refugees in the Great Migration. So Russell lives in Nuuk. He works with particle physics, some big project called the International Dark Energy Harness. Last time Russell came, he brought 2 jetpacks and he and my dad flew across Victoria Island. Had the best time. My dad needs someone who can get him out of the lighthouse now and again. He has a library in the tower that's his own personal Alexandria, but he's an explorer at heart. Sunday night, Russell arrives on a Greenland transport. When Dad brings him back home, I'm shocked again at how big he is. His 280 pounds makes my dad look small. He jokes that he just cleaned the harness, but I know he's an engineer, one of the people who maintain it. When dark energy first started being talked about, it was theoretical. All that space in the universe that was left over as the universe expanded, the vacuum of space that seemed to get bigger. Discovering negative pressure, scientists are still trying to understand how to harness this energy, which they figure comes into Earth's atmosphere at night and is pushed out by light in the day, much like a tide. Russell once told me that it was like suddenly realizing that a box you thought was empty was suddenly full, and that something good could be made out of the dark. Dark, he says, has such a bad reputation. Right now, they're in the dark, both drinking beers on the deck, talking rugby. It's good to see Dad happy. I look up at the dark and see the network of satellites pass by and feel connected to the whole world. I head back to Whitehorse on Monday feeling like I'd had a vacation. I go to her office. It's quiet. Randy looks up at me when I come in. "I liked your story," he says, "and the internet dating personal side was nice. We're putting it on tomorrow." I was very blessed that Dad and Russell wanted to give me their story. But really, who's going to hear it? "It's kind of small," I say to Randy. He smiles. "One day, you're going to learn how big small stories are." I ask him if he wants anything from Stars and Sun, because I can't work in this room without coffee. And he asks me to bring him a Mexican chai, extra spicy. So I'm at Stars and Sun Cafe ordering my favorite latte, when it sounds like someone has turned on a drill. And the walls shake and the tip jar falls off the counter and shatters at my feet. And this fissure opens up in the ceiling. And everyone's jumping out of their seats and running for the door, me included. And when I stand outside, the whole world is swaying. And that's when everything goes silent.
Rogueing is the wrong decision.